All right. Okay. So, is there anything you want talk about today? Feel free. Who's going to go first?
Since you've been gone, it's been a wild ride.
Okay.
A wild ride. I'm still discovering those mountains, and one of them is named, it's called Adventure, and I'll say it's been quite an adventure. It's been a wild ride these last few weeks.
Okay.
Awesome experiences and greater revelations. It's really nice.
Yeah, but once you begin to step in, these realms begin to open up, and it's then earthing it out, because it's got to make a difference. It's got to be manifested through us onto the earth. So, sometimes it's getting those experiences and the different encounters, and then beginning to focus them into, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to do with these? How am I supposed to administer them? Because I mean, I had so many encounters to start with that I just didn't understand or didn't really know what or how to administrate it. But the more I kept going back, asking God, going, wisdom is a great place to go to the heights if you need insight into, the judicial or the rulership areas of the encounters. Just keep dialoguing and getting, more revelation, really. I mean, it's good. It's great, though. Really encouraging. It's better to have too many than too little, anyway. Even though you've got to pull them all together at times.
Yeah, it's funny to see something in the spirit realm, some freedom happen, and then you come back in the natural and you watch to see how it plays out in the natural and who in the spirit realm you encountered. That's an interesting part of it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Have you got any sort of testimonies of that?
Yeah, there's been great a call for me to step up in the courts with people in the courts, and lately my dreams, I went through a season where they were being taken, and now they seem to be back. So I'm just trying to see how they play out. Excuse me, I have to step away for one second.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think sharing testimonies is really important, because it does allow those testimonies to create an atmosphere where people can step into them. That's we share testimonies every week church-wise, simply because we want to create an atmosphere where people can just say, yeah, I received that testimony and I step back into it. So it's good. Okay, you all right?
Okay, yeah, well, I had this very interesting dream encounter where I was in an environment where there were people and demonic entities. And I wasn't afraid, but I knew there was caution needed. And I knew I was on an assignment, even though it was a dream, it was more of a night watch assignment. And it became sort of a dangerous situation, and I was coming out, and as I'm coming out, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you're here. Why am I not seeing you? Where are you? Where are you? And I came out into the open, and I'm like, okay, anytime now, Lord. And I saw him in front, all covered up like he was wearing blizzard clothes, everything covered up to hide all of his light. And I have this horde following me. And as I recognized that figure was him, he began to unveil his light. And it was remarkable. And I'm like, well, what took you so long? And I turned around and I watched the effects, and I know that there will be an outworking in the natural of that. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And then as I shared it with people, I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, you used me as bait. you sent me in there and used me as bait. So we had a big laugh about that. It was very, very interesting.
Good, thanks. Okay, great, good. Anyone else want to share anything or ask?
Well, I have a question. I noticed lately that I've been encountering angels, and I've been asking their names and like function. That's something you don't talk too much, at least that I have heard it. You're talking about like you can go to the court of angels and ask for help, but what happens when you are doing things and then they come and interact with you, and it's like more like for personal ministry in your life? Because I noticed that like little angels just like coming and just asking their names and trying to interact almost every day just to see what is that they want to do. What else can you tell me more about angels besides the court of angels?
Well, there are obviously guardian angels that are assigned to us. You know, the Hebrews 3 ministering spirits, and Hebrews 1 where it talks about ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. So in Hebrews there it talks about them being, you know, ministers and flames of fire and winds, and so yeah, they are assigned to us. You know, I know the two angels assigned to me personally. I also have ministry angels that also are assigned in ministry terms so that I can engage in ministry at times with them. We also have church angels that I engage with, a regional and local angel that I know all their names, and you know, I engage with them. It is important when they are, you know, when there's myriads and myriads and myriads of them, you know, in the canopy of angels, then you know it can be a bit overwhelming. But in a sense, when you engage with them, when they're assigned to your mandate for something, then you know, sometimes you know they will interact. Sometimes I don't need to really understand their name, but I understand their function because they've been assigned to this mandate. So I, you know, send them into the atmosphere of the earth, or I might send them to prepare something. But when I look around the atmosphere around my life, then if I am maintaining an atmosphere of the spirit and love and joy and peace and attitudes are flowing from life, then I expect the angelic realm to be attracted. Just like if I have a negative attitude and I'm angry or resentful or bitter, then the demonic realm's attracted. And so around me, when I look into the realm of the spirit, particularly in ministry settings or when I'm going into somewhere new, I want to see, well, what's going on here? So, you know, I want to look in a room, you know, are there angels? You know, not just mine, but are there angels that are there? What are they there for? You know, are they there on assignment that I need to be careful that I don't interrupt that assignment or cut across that assignment if they're there for me? And they've been assigned there because I'm coming into that place, or there's something particular that I need to engage in, then I'm going to look. You know, I'm going to look into that realm. You know, I'm not saying that I look into that realm with my open eyes and I can see the angelic realm, but my spirit can, and I can, my spirit can perceive what's there, and I begin to operate with that. Now, angels are, you know, most of the ones that I engage with are not the ones that have got wings. You know, they're not like that. You know, sometimes angels can be pillars of fire or whirlwinds or fiery swords or golden ladders, because they are not just personalities, they are creatures. The chaos order of angels are the what you call the living creatures. So they're the fiery horses, the fiery chariots. They're all living. You know, there's nothing that's dead in heaven. It's all alive. And there are like the fiery sword in Genesis, which guarded the pathway into the garden and the tree of life. That was a living creature. You know, the cherubim were there, but there was this whirling fiery sword. That was a living creature. So when you see things in that realm, you know, you don't just necessarily see the classic, there is an angel with big wings and that sort of thing. You have to look with some discernment to see what is going on, you know. Now, you know, I don't focus in the sense of the negative aspect of that, because I want to help people look at the positive one, but you do begin also to see some of the schemes and strategies of the enemy when you begin to look into that realm. When you're doing it generally in a church service or something like that, often there isn't very much enemy activity because you prepared worship and prayer, and therefore, you know, there's an atmosphere of the presence of God, therefore you don't see an awful lot. But when you're in ministry settings sometimes, or you're going into a new place, sometimes there are things that you can perceive and see, you know. So all those things are part of developing my spiritual eyes to be able to engage in that realm around me. Now, I can look it into the personal realm and look at people's personal angels, which, you know, I've done with you guys sometimes. You know, I can look at the atmospheres that people are giving off in terms of color and fragrance and things, but also you can look deeper than that and begin to just see, you know, what actually is engaging in the realm, the unseen realm, effectively. You know, it's an unseen to the natural realm, but it's just a dimension that stands us that we can actually experience. Now, that's different from the eternal realm or the realm of heaven, which is also around us but is in a different dimension. Those things come out of heaven into this unseen realm around us, and so we can engage in all those different realms. And, you know, there are a lot of angels. You know, if you think every single star in the galaxies, and there are 400 billion galaxies, and each galaxy has numerous stars, each one of them had an angel assigned. So only a third of them fell with Satan. So there's still two-thirds of them. So we've still got double the amount on our side. And that's plenty enough. You know, and, you know, Jesus had, was it 12 legions of angels who were assigned that he could call on? Well, that in Roman terms, I think, was somewhere around 8,000. So he could call on 8,000 angels, just those around him. Well, if I'm a co-heir with him, then I must have access to that as well. But we're not very familiar in using that to our advantage in terms of expanding the kingdom. You know, we've been so used to just ministering, you know, under the anointing or in that sort of atmosphere, that we don't necessarily are as sensitive to all that belongs to us as our inheritance, and also all that we have access to in terms of to administrate the kingdom here as well as there. So, yeah, there are angels that you assign in the court of angels, and then you can assign them to clear the atmosphere and do things like that, but there are also a lot of angels that are also assigned to this unseen realm around us that we also can engage in.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Yeah, it's been interesting. I'm learning. I'm learning more and more and more. Like, for example, I know now, well, I know different ones, but this one was pretty cool because before, when I used to go to the courts and get the papers and trade them and go to the mountain, I used to go inside sometimes to the mountain, either like keeping my belly or going to the mountain and putting to the treasure house. But now I have this angel who is in charge of the papers, and what he did and showed me is like he placed it on the mountain outside like a sign, like so. The papers, the legal papers that I have received now, they are like outside the mountain so they can see it is legal, it is done, you know. I didn't do it before like that. It was because the angel showed me now. I think he was like a scribe angel or one of those paper angels, whatever. He gave me the name, but I don't remember. It was really, I write it down. So now when I go and I get papers, I put outside the mountain. That's what I do. I put it like a sign, like it's done. You see, that's the proof right here. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, angels, or I mean, angels is a very generic term. I mean, you know, there is a whole orders of different sorts of and spiritual beings, let's say, you know, and you know, we need to learn how to engage, and some of them do bring direction. They bring messengers, because that's what Jesus sent them. God sent them. They brought messengers. They got people out of prison. They did lots of things. Well, that's their function, you know, and we need to be open for their activity and what we do, and be open for them to give us messages from God. You know, I know some people are very fearful of that. It's a religious spirit that tries to stop us engaging with the angelic through fear of being deceived, as if we're going to be deceived. And we need to rise above and realize that in faith, if we're asking for something positive from God, we're not going to get something negative, you know, and be more in faith for revelation that God uses angels to deliver than being deceived, you know. And if we're intimate with God, then our spirit will warn us of any potential deception. You know, I've never encountered any sort of deceptive thing when I've been engaged in heaven. You know, yes, I've dealt with dragons and certain creatures, but then I was defeating them and attacking them. It wasn't the other way around. You know, it was my role to bring light and to remove darkness. You know, I'm not just saying we shouldn't be making sure that we are filled with the Spirit, that we have the Word in us as a guide and a plumb line, that we know the character of God and the nature of God. But the more intimate we are with Him, the more our spirit and our conscience is sensitive to anything which is disruptive to Him, or brings disrepute to Him, or dishonor to Him, or is totally contradictory to His character. You know, but He is pretty wild, God. You know, he doesn't like to be put in a box. So He does some pretty wild stuff. You know, you've got to read the Old Testament to see some of what He did with the prophets and what He asked them to do, and what He wanted them to do, to embody something or to demonstrate something. You know, today we would say that isn't God. God wouldn't tell you to do that. Well, He told that prophet to do it, and He told that prophet to do that. He does sometimes ask us to do some things, you know, but what we've got to see is not to be fearful of that, but to recognize His heart behind it. And that's the discerning of His heart that will keep us, you know, safe and safeguarded, because we know His heart. A lot of positive things around that we really do need to learn how to engage in more. So it's good. Excellent. Okay, anything else? I mean, you got anything, Paul, that you want to...
Yeah, I've noticed that the more that I engage, especially what you were talking about, engaging the angels, I had never, you know, never been taught to do that. So the more I engage that, you know, I've been praying. I love to kind of go to the mall and stalk sick people or injured people. And so the more that I've been engaging, the more I've noticed that the results are happening more instantaneously, and they seem to be happening, I don't want to say more permanently, but it's a little bit more dramatic, some of the things that have been happening, you know, because I started out with just a biblical principle of laying hands on the sick and kind of using, you know, Mark 11:22, just telling the disease to go. And my faith was kind of, I was putting my faith in what I had seen in certain things, like, okay, I've seen this, but not this. And the more that I'm just like, wait a minute, God's presence is here. And the more I engage, the more I realize, you know, what's going on around me. It's almost fun to get in those situations, because, you know, you just bring His presence and God's going to do whatever He needs to do in that situation. And if we're connected and still listening, He'll tell us specifics. But I mean, it's almost like you just kind of like, you know, all right, God, here you go, and just kind of step back and watch the show. And it's been really just some really, really dramatic testimonies and things of of people being healed of, you know, Asperger's and some Parkinson's and some things, knees, backs. I had a friend last night who was laid up in bed. His wife texted me, and so we went over there and, you know, just prayed for him and asked for the glory to show up and asked for some ministering angels and, you know, pulled him up, got him out of bed. He was walking around. His wife was like, I was getting ready to take him to the emergency room. And so it's just, you know, and that the more time I found that, you know, even just the stepping in, stepping out, like, it just really brings that atmosphere around us. And again, this is fairly new for me in the last probably 3 months of just engaging more with, you know, Ian's teaching and more of the supernatural, being intentional with it. But it's, I mean, I'm just astounded at how everything shifts, and it's just like you just rest and yeah. God does amazing things, you know.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
but I think, you know, what you said there, rest, is really key. Because we have to enter his rest and flow out of the relationship that we have with him, not striving and struggling to do things. No. It's from a place of rest. And that rest comes when we take his yoke upon us, if you like. It's actually I'm joining with him, and he's leading and directing, and I'm going to do what he shows me to do. Therefore, it's not down on me to have to come up with this or that or the other. Even in terms of the daily thing, well, I'm going to get a mandate from God for what he wants me to do today. It's his mandate. I'm not, or what I need to find a mandate today. No, I just need to go and seek him and come into his presence, and the mandate is there for me, because that's where everything is, in his presence.
Yeah.
I can come around the ark, and I can engage there, open my heart, and it's waiting for me. I just have to come into agreement with it, you know. Which is, you know, pretty great.
I think it's really, really interesting. I've been engaging a lot more scribes. I mean, it's like almost every time I go in, there's a scribe somewhere engaging me. And I find that very interesting.
Hmm.
Is Mike, are you on, Mike, or frozen?
I think he dropped.
Okay. He's frozen, yeah.
Well, we're ready to spread the good news when we commence.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been some big solar flares. I think that might have something to do with what's going on lately.
I've been not having problems with my at all.
There you go. There, you're back.
There you go.
Yeah, well, we were doing pretty well for a while.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah, so it's great. I mean, it's awesome, really. And I think it just becomes such a natural way to operate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what we were made for. It's, you know, how he created us is to be in a flow of the spirit and to bring the spiritual realm, to bring transformation to this natural one. You know, I think it's great, you know. Okay, so.
I was saying that I'm finding it very interesting that almost every time I go in now, I'm engaged by scribes. The scribes are always around me,
yeah,
or engaging me and interacting with me. That's interesting. Almost every time I'm in, there's a scribe there.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you're being sensitive to that, because everything gets recorded. Everything. They record everything. Now, the fact that they are looking to engage around you is because you're starting to engage in things that need proper recording, bringing into record. And, you know, what I've found is, and I know other people have said the same thing, if you have encounters that you don't fully retain all the information, you can go back to the Court of Scribes to read the record of the encounter, to see what the purpose and the interaction was about as recorded by the scribes. Because they're recording it and putting it into record so that it becomes legislative sometimes, and then we can operate out of it. You know, it authorizes it as well. So, yeah, the fact that they're around you is an indication of, you know, where you're beginning to interact and beginning to function. Because, you know, they, a lot of times you don't not necessarily aware of what they're doing, because they're not there to get in the way. They're there to record. You know, so sometimes, you know, you're not aware of them, but they will record, so you can go to that court or you can go to the record room and you can engage with what has been written. You know, so again, it's another angle to be able to engage in encounters and revisit them to ensure that you get the fullness of them. Because sometimes we are so blown away by the experiences that we're not quite able to capture it all and to engage it all. Now, our spirit connects, but it's got to connect to our mind so that we understand it or have revelation of it. So, you know, sometimes, you know, I do my own scribing stuff often and journal things. It's when I go back into those journals that greater revelation comes, sometimes more than the first time, because now I am not so captivated by the experience. I can look into what the experience was about more, and, you know, and to engage in it around the scribes and what they're doing. So I think that's a really good point. And I would encourage people to look out for that and be aware that they can go back and look and look at the record for us. So yes, that's really good. Excellent. Anything else?
I need to go back and look to the records and visit places, because there's so many places that I went once, and it's really cool. I had a question. It's more than one garden. It's more than one garden, right? It's different gardens. Like, do you think the deeper maybe you go into your relationship, he take you to a different level or a different garden? Because I know that there is many different gardens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously the first garden that I engaged with was the garden in my own heart. And that was a very small little area, because I'd never learned to cultivate it or to speak life into it or to bring creativity into it. So the first engagement with the garden was for me a tree with a swing and a little bench. And I used to sit there. I didn't know where it was, but I sat there talking to God. And sometimes I would sit on the swing and he would push me and we would just hang out and, you know. Subsequently, recognizing that's the garden of my heart, that I'm responsible to cultivate it, then I have planted, cultivated the river of life. I've engaged within my heart the quiet waters, the green pastures that he says sometimes, hey, lie down in green pastures. It was a command sometimes, because we need to lie down in green pastures and hang out, you know. So our garden develops and grows, and I have everything that I look to do in heaven planted as a testimony so that I can re-engage the fruit within the garden of my own heart and give those testimonies away to others. That's why I can remember so many things, because they're planted there. You know, Proverbs 4 says, you know, guard your heart with diligence, because from it flow the issues or the source of life. You know, so it's a place now. I have mountains in there, you know, big grassy areas, other things within there, thrones and different things, because I've developed and cultivated and grown it. That is obviously flowing from the garden of God, Eden. And even in the realms of heaven, there's the Father's garden. There is Eden per se, which has waterfalls and pools and, for me, places of engagement, places of intimacy, tree of life, all those things. That's all part of Eden, which is a huge garden plateau on the mountain of God. you know, and there's plateaus where the waterfalls fall down and there are pools. And for me, I experienced lots of revelation in different pools and different waterfalls. And that was all part of the garden of God, you know, but it wasn't the Father's garden. The Father's garden is something different. It's a place of deeper intimacy where you just have to be. It's not a place of doing, or it's just, and in that garden, I found that there was another pool where I could find the vast sum of his thoughts, and another waterfall that went up further. The more you explore, the more you find. And, you know, I'm sure there are lots of other places and interactive places. You know, I'm sure the Father's garden is way more than I've ever experienced in there. You know, I've experienced a golden mountain in there, a pool in there. I connected up with some of the angels that were on that mountain. Also, but that was probably my, I don't know, 10th, 15th occasion of being in there that I saw that. You know, because I'm always focused on the Father and just being. And sometimes it's like I go in there and it's like my every atom or particle of my being just gets pulled apart and becomes one with the universe. And it connects me to things and I begin to know things. Then it all comes together and I feel I'm connected. Because we know in Ephesians 4:6 it says that God is in and through and over all things. He's connected to everything because his voice is vibrating within the fabric of the natural realm and the spiritual realm that holds everything in sort of unity, harmony together. And so I believe there's lots of things that we've yet to discover. You know, I was in the Garden of God once and I was just sort of hot, well, floating really. It's what I float in there. It's almost like I am the same as the atmosphere, so I just float. And he said, look up, you know, look up. I looked up and there's all these stars. Oh, I've never noticed that before. And I looked into the stars and I began to see the stars begin to take shape and form into a pattern, which was really significant for me. It's like I understood what was going on. Well, I'd never done that before, but that was all part of just hanging out in the garden, you know, establishing relationship, building intimacy, learning about the heart of God by spending time in those sort of places. So, yeah, probably lots of different dimensions to the gardens in the realm of heaven, and our garden in our heart, actually, it will develop as much as we cultivate it and plant it and tend it and look after it. You know, so cultivating is growing things, tending is looking after the things that are in it. You know, and I want to bring everything I engage in heaven into my garden and my heart so that it becomes a recorded testimony of memory that I can use over and over again. That's why, you know, I plant the seed of testimony, I water it with a river of life, I speak life to it, and it grows, then I can go and eat its fruit, you know. And the fruit is not always just that looks like fruit, that tastes like fruit, or sometimes the things on those trees are, you know, I've had silver trumpets, you know, I had scrolls, you know, I had an encounter this week where there was a tree grew and something on it I wasn't expecting. You know, just things that are significant to help us enter into the testimony and release it again and to experience it. So definitely lots of interaction with gardens and things. So, yeah.
I had an encounter with a friend that I had her by the hand and we were going in and exploring the garden. And I realized we were going to the Father's garden and I couldn't go further. I was really overwhelmed. And I said, I can't go in there. We got to come back. And, you know, I had never been there before. And I said, I don't even know if I can take you someplace I've never been. And I was just really overwhelmed. I said, no, I can't go in there. And that, you know, upon coming back, that troubled me a little, you know, but I understand it can be overwhelming, but I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah.
And going further. But cool. My first time, I couldn't go beyond the entrance of it at all.
Yeah, well, often people encounter Jesus at the entrance, or there's usually a bridge that goes over the River of Life, and you can walk over it. But often Jesus is there because you can't go in there carrying burdens and weights and responsibilities. And this is, you know, cast your burdens on the Lord because He cares for you. And when you, if you're going to go in and just be in the Father's garden, because He's not, there's no throne in there. This is the Father relaxed and intimate, and it's just a sort of awesome place. You know, you can't go in there with an agenda. You can't go in there carrying things, weights, and worries and cares and concerns, because you won't be able to get in with that. So Jesus is often there, saying, yeah, cast all this stuff onto me, because that's what I'm there for. Now you can go in. First time I went in the Father's garden, I came from above down the waterfall. You know, I'd been in the judgment seat. I'd engaged my scrolls. I'd encountered the fiery presence of the consuming fire of God's presence and His eyes. And then, you know, it was the fear of the Lord, actually. It was the spirit of the fear of the Lord who was with me and was teaching me about that. And He just said, you know, now you can go into the Father's garden. And it's like there's this massive waterfall that I sort of look over the edge, and my soul sort of, my thought is, oh, how can I go down there? You know, but I stepped off and just floated gently down into the Father's garden, and I just floated in there. You know, and the first few times I was there, you know, I didn't understand the protocol. So it was almost like, oh, do I need to do something? Is there something I need to say? And He's just like, just be still. You know, just be still. And in that stillness, you're going to know me. You know, you're going to know how I am in everything. And it is a different level. My personal experience of it is a different level of peace, rest, being, not doing, just complete rest, you know, in terms of who we are and who I am and that sort of thing. So it's very much a place you just can't jump into. You know, you really do need to make sure you go in there just to rest and enter into rest. But it's a beautiful place, you know, beautiful, beautiful environment, like no other. You know, I've never experienced anything quite like that anywhere else. Although, you know, some of the realms in terms of heaven of heavens and on into there, the atmosphere in there is different as well in terms of just, it is just different. It's difficult. I can't even describe how different it is, but it's like breathing another gas rather than oxygen. You know, I know you breathe the atmosphere of heaven in the realms of heaven, but this is different. And there are places like that, you know, that we have to learn to get used to the environment and just understand it and to engage in it. But yeah, go back. You know, there's nothing to be fearful of. It is an awesome, awesomely quiet and restful place. If you know, God is awesome in many different ways, you know, on His power and the throne and the thunder and lightnings and all those things, but He's awesome there as the Father who's in His garden, just pottering around, if you like. It's just that sense of, hey, you can just be. You don't have to think about doing anything. You know, and I found that really refreshing. You know, and it helped me then in my own garden. Hey, this is a secret place of relaxation and joy and remembrance and just wonder, rather than, hey, I'm going to plow a field or something. It's like I want my garden to be that place of rest, so that the river of life flowing from heaven into my garden then flows out to the rest of me and around me to create that atmosphere, hopefully, of peace and rest around me. You know, because I'm engaging in it and releasing it and flowing out, you know, rather than any sense of anxiety, worry, fear, any of those emotions. You know, I want peace and rest, you know, and so quite often, I focus on, if I'm seeking first the kingdom and His way of doing and being, just being who I am, then it's His responsibility to look after all the other stuff, which I can get easily caught up with in a natural sense. And I hold Him to it. You know, I trade on that promise. You know, I'm seeking your kingdom, I'm putting you first, and it's your responsibility to look after all the provision, protection, natural daily things that I'm not going to be concerned about at all, because that's your stuff. I'm just trusting you for all that. My focus is, what is my mandate each day? What is my destiny? How do I engage my scroll and just outwork it? I keep focus on that in relationship with him. It's his responsibility to deal with all the rest, you know, which is what I believe it should be like. But we quite often get caught up in trying to, oh, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with that problem? Oh, is there that issue? There's this. And, you know, it's like I'm expecting blessing and favor to be flowing around me because I want to attract that. I want to create that. I want to speak that and frame that, you know, and then flow out of that. You know, so, you know, it's definitely a great environment, the Garden of God, without a doubt. Anything else you want to ask? Maybe it would be good just to try and step into that garden. It's a good place to go, because it's a place we can engage in, and I love going there, you know, and let's step in. That'd be awesome. So I encourage you just to relax, just close your eyes, just recognize your own spirit, you know, that door of first love. Just make sure that door of first love, you know, is open. Just sense the presence of God there, you know, and just sense that he's opening up the realm for you to step through, to come into the river of life, in the realm of the kingdom. Just engage in that river for a minute, just feel its energy, its power, its life flowing into you, flowing around you, the source of life. You can drink it, you can swim, you can be submerged in it, you can breathe it. It is life. Just be sensitive to that. Just enjoy that. You may see something within the river, on the bottom of the river. But off to the right is the waterfalls that are cascading down the mountain of God. Just think of that waterfall and just come and stand under that waterfall and allow what's flowing out of the heart of God just to flow over you. Sense the deep calling out to deep, calling you into peace, calling you into joy, calling you into love, just deep, calling deep to your spirit to come deeper into intimacy with the Father. Just sense that call. Now just begin to float up that waterfall. Just let your spirit just float up. And as you come to the waterfall, you're standing in the river, just see the pathway along the side of the river, and you can walk along that pathway. Again, just sensing the life. Each step you take, it's living and active, contains fragrance and color and sound. Just wondrous life in all the multi dimensions there are. Just walk, see the trees, just hear the sounds as you just walk along that pathway. Just breathe in that atmosphere. Feel the life and the expansion that your spirit receives. As you're walking along that pathway ahead of you, there's the bridge. And Jesus is standing there. Just walk up to him. Just look into his eyes. Feel how much he cares, how much he loves, how much he wants you to be unburdened. Just share by looking into his eyes. Allow your spirit to share the deep things that you may be carrying right now. Any hidden anxieties or worries or fears, just cast them all onto him. Just offload them all onto him. Let him look and show you if there's any responsibility that you're carrying which is not yours, the weight. If you're feeling heavy laden or burdened or weary, just give it to him. Just feel how light you feel. See the smile of his countenance over you, the joy that he feels when you just unburden yourself and cast it all on him. I feel that you're now authorized, that he gives you permission to walk across the bridge, to step into the garden of God, the Father's garden. Just step in. Just sense the atmosphere. Just walk until you find the Father.
Just
feel the Father's affirmation of who you are, as you're just still knowing Him, knowing you. Feel His approval, His blessing, His heart for you. Just sense deeply how much love. The apple of His just prepare to step back out, just back out, slowly allowing your spirit to feel and receive the fullness of the Father's heart and love, that being, that rest and peace, the wonder of His love for us. Just allow your heart to reach out to Him in love. Express your love to Him as you just come back over the bridge. Just beginning to prepare yourself to step back into this realm, but bringing back that sense into your own heart and garden. And I just encourage you to step into the garden of your heart, that secret place within the garden of your own heart, and take the testimony of the record of your encounter in the garden of God and just plant it. Just put that seed of testimony in the ground, water it with the water of life, the river of life, living water, and just speak life. And as that grows, becomes the fruit of the testimony that starts to overflow into your garden, as you tend and cultivate it, as you come from that place of peace and rest where you can lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters within the garden of your own heart, in intimacy, in that secret place with the Father, with Jesus, with the Spirit. Just sense the peace that is within your own heart as you've planted that testimony. Now just step back through the veils, ringing with you, flowing out through you. Just allow what you've received to go through your spirit and soul to create the atmosphere of peace and rest around your life. That stillness, that knowing who you are, your identity. Just allow it to create the atmosphere around you, flowing through you, that now you walk in peace, you walk in rest, you live from the Father's heart for you. All right. So there was that. Anyone want to share anything briefly? Did you get in there, fam?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did.
And yeah, I actually gave me multicolored flower and the seeds. He gave me seeds to take back to the garden, to my garden.
Good. Excellent.
And then, you know, he asked me how come I hadn't been working in my own garden, because he enjoyed doing that with me. So I'll be back in my garden. I've been so busy. So I'm going to be back in my natural garden spending time with him.
Good. Excellent. Very good. Brilliant. Anyone else want to share anything? It's quite hard coming back. I find it quite hard coming back from places like that. I just get to, oh, I could just stay there forever. But, yeah. Okay, brilliant. All right.